Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. My guest is Jonathan Goldman. Now, before the break, we were talking about this great story of the divine name. We played a little bit of that before the break. And you were saying that that was a sound that came to you through a meditation, yet Greg had confirmed that it was a sound that was used in ancient text, right? Did I get that right?
Lisa, basically, it came to me. You know that state in between waking and dream? And
The
as I was
twilight.
coming out of a dream, this inner voice said, "We want you to make the sound." And that's where the sound came to me. And I literally didn't share it with anybody because I thought it was too powerful. And then I attended a workshop that Greg had done on the. He called it the God Code, and I realized he's teaching Kabbalah, which is basically Western mysticism. So during a dinner with him, I shared that I had discovered the sound. He began to play it, and then we released it. And then later on, I wanted people to learn how to make it the sound themselves because they basically found it so powerful. And so I created a book called The Divine Name. And,
That's how that all came about. Have you ever noticed or tested for certain frequencies? And I'm not sure about them, but there's the you mentioned the solfeggio frequencies or the certain resonances. You mentioned there was one called the Schumann resonance.
Sure.
Have you ever tested that for those, or are there other recordings that you have that have those frequencies embedded or recorded?
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I like to think that for the most part, most of my recordings are quite unique. They, or at least at the time that I created them, they were unique. And then perhaps they may have ushered in a whole level of, people who work with them. My recording, for example, called Holy Harmony, was the first recording that ever utilized the what is called the solfeggio frequencies. And the divine name is the divine name. The chakra chants ushered in this whole aspect of using different frequencies and different vowel sounds and different mantras to resonate the chakras. And I'm grateful for that. I'll tell you what is interesting is with regard to the divine name, I had finished the book and I had just sent it out to Hay House. And that was on Friday. I sent it out to Hay House on Saturday. I went to this expo and literally it was called the International New Age Trade Show, and it was in Denver. And as I'm walking by, this guy says, "I want to take your aura imaging." And I looked at him and I said, "I don't want my aura imaging photographed." And he goes, "I want to do your aura imaging." I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" So I finally said, "Okay, I'm going to sit down here." I said, "And when you take this picture, let me sound the divine name." He said, "Okay." So I sounded the divine name and started taking this picture. And then he said, "Do it again." Okay, took this picture. He said, "Do it again." Took this picture. I said, "Okay, what's going on here?" And he basically, pulled me over to the camera and the picture. And there's a picture of me first looking kind of normal. And then, as I'm making the divine name, literally this white sort of gold dust cloud is coming out of my mouth and literally envelops my entire head. And it was quite an amazing thing. So I literally. It's like, "Wow." I said, "Have you ever seen that before?" He said, "No." I said, "Cool. I said, can I have those pictures so I can send them into Hay House?" And I was actually able to send them into Hay House, and we actually included a little chapter right after that called the aura imaging phenomena, because I don't know what it means, Lisa, but it was really quite an extraordinary phenomena. And
And it was replicatable. It happened every time he took the photo.
well, at that particular time, I never went back to have him do it, but I imagine that that
But the three
indeed
times in
was
a
a.
row, yeah.
Yeah, it continued to happen over and over, and I thought that's pretty interesting. A lot of these sound things are certainly, you're able to replicate them, and which is how, for example, you can find your fabulous peer review information about the hum, for example. And we talked about all those phenomena, and with the divine name, I suggested that it was indeed something that may have come from the Old Testament, but indeed after First of all, I made the recording, and after I wrote the book, I got all sorts of feedback from people who were followers of different traditions, from Native American to various things in the Hindu tradition, et cetera, saying, yeah, we make that sound ourselves in these specific things. I said, okay, that's cool, because if it is composed purely of vowel sounds, then it's a universal sound.
Ooh, interesting. So do people hear sounds differently? We heard this with the Laurel versus Yanny.
Yes. Wow. Well, what an interesting phenomenon.
Yes, that was
so
amazing.
Yes, I believe that we all do indeed hear sounds very, very different. I think, you know, I think we also probably all see differently too, but particularly with regard to hearing sounds differently, this brings in the whole phenomena for, you know, people who are musicians or people who are, recording engineers of how do you create a recording that is going to sound good to everyone. I don't think you actually can, because I think we all do hear differently indeed. Mm. You know, there is a phenomenon. There was a fellow by the name of Dr. Alfred Tomatis, who is a French otolaryngologist, and he was considered the Einstein of the ear. And he actually, his work continues on. He works with a lot of, his work is continuing on with a lot of people from autism to ADD, et cetera, and he found that you could literally stimulate the ear and change your, not only hearing process, but your whole process of thinking and being simply through listening, through conscious listening and listening to sound. It's quite an amazing phenomenon. People, you know, they think, sound is just, you know, not much, where everybody hears. But actually, sound may be one of the most important senses. You know, it's the first, sense that is, stimulated when we're in utero. I think we're around 12 weeks in utero, and it's said to be the last sense that passes us when we go over. In fact, there's a book called the Tibetan Book of
the Dead.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it actually translates as in Tibetan, it's the Tibetan Book of Hearing in the Bardo, and the Bardo is that place that the Tibetans believe you pass on to when you depart this plane.
It makes sense that you're right. It is the first thing that we hear, and the last thing is sound. The first mm-hmm. thing we experience and the last thing that we experience on this planet. The, you know, to go back to the Laurel versus Yanny,
yeah.
it was two separate topics, but because
I love that though. It's
that was
great.
A good segue, wasn't it? So, but the, I read or I saw the video on your site, and it said that 53% of the people heard Yanny. And it's just a matter of different frequencies. And that was a perfect example of how we hear differently. And I guess the Yanny was a lower tone. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, Lordy. You know, from my perspective, I was watching TV, and it was very interesting because somebody was talking about Laurel versus Yanny. And then they played this sequence of different newscasters, and I heard the word, I think I heard Yanny, but when I heard it from the TV, instead of the TV playing somebody else's TV, I heard Laurel. I said, gee, that has to do with different frequencies and the different frequencies that I'm hearing. And indeed, this phenomena, if you put them lower, you'd hear one. If you brought the equalization up, you'd hear another one. I thought, how interesting is that? So yes, what a great example of the fact that we all hear differently. And you know, as I was saying before, I think we are all unique vibratory beings, which is why working with sound is such on a level, it's all-encompassing. Everybody is affected by sound, but we may be affected by sound differently.
That's fascinating. It really is fascinating. What about universal sounds like this Schumann resonance, the frequency of the ionosphere of the planet? Do you think everyone hears that the same?
I think that I don't, once again, actually hearing that is a whole different phenomena because the Schumann resonance is 7.83 cycles a second, which is below our level of hearing. It can be, if you like, heard using a process called the binaural beat phenomena, if you like, or sonic entrainment, which is, without getting too complicated, if you put a certain frequency in one ear and a different frequency in the other ear, the difference between the two will usually literally go into the brain and train the brain if it's within a certain bandwidth. So we can hear or experience the Schumann resonance that way. But let me just, as a thought, the Schumann resonance is said to be the, if you like, the vibrational frequency of the ionosphere of the planet. And 7.83, if you like, is really it's a mean because the Schumann resonance varies, and it has varied since it was first discovered in the 19. It was actually discovered in 1950 and then validated in 1960, and it goes up and down depending upon things like solar flares, lightning, weather conditions, et cetera. But 7.83 seems to be pretty much the if you like, mean tone of it, and it's something that is said that if you basically attune to this frequency, you can attune to the energies of the Earth. And I first came across this around 1980 when I first began researching this, and it continues to be an amazing phenomena. We actually created some tuning forks called the Gaia frequency tuning forks, which there are two of them, and you use them, and they can you can either listen to them or apply them to your body, and they have. I've had doctors and all sorts of other people just go, "These are quite amazing tools." And I said, "Yeah, they're very, very cool." Because I don't like to, if you like, create stuff that isn't actually valid and real. And
I
at least for a
appreciate
number of
that.
people, have
Yes.
positive effects.
I appreciate that a lot. So these types of tuning forks can be used for healing things like pain or easing pain or creating and stimulating certain hormones.
Well, we have two different sets. One that is, if you like, for use on the body, kind of like the way that you would do acupressure or acupuncture, and another that you can just listen to. And when you listen to it, that is a great tool for deepening meditation and opening up your higher, like, psychic and spiritual realms and using it on your body. I've known of people who've had extraordinary, shall we say, positive experiences. I don't like to promise anything because we're all unique vibratory beings, but a majority of people have had really good responses with these Gaia frequency tuning forks. So I give thanks.
Yes, it's so these are tuning forks. When you hit them, they create a resonance between a frequency between the two forks, right?
Exactly. So, for example, if you put them on your body, you're able to basically generate that frequency of the earth through you on a cellular level, which I think is very therapeutic.
I wonder how we could use that for healing, for earth healing, for planetary healing.
I think that probably it's really a great frequency for us as humans to attune to because a lot of us have become so lost these days in other frequencies that are created. Not that there's anything wrong with the internet or anything wrong with the being on city streets, et cetera, but our connection to the earth is so important and so powerful, so very, very healing, and we've lost a lot of that, Lisa, don't you think?
Oh yes, that's why the Global Oming Project and so forth that you were talking about
Yeah.
earlier is it's a wonderful thing. Actually, tell us a little bit about that, about the some of the sound healing day and so forth, the projects that you have going on.
Okay, this is going to take more than a minute or two. Okay,
We
but
have four before the
okay,
break.
we have four. Yeah, right. And so once again, like many different things, I was in a deep state of meditation, probably close to 20 years ago, and this inner voice said to me, "Well, you have help to bring awareness of the uses of sound for healing people on a personal level. It is now time for you to begin to also, if you like, enlarge the scope and bring sound for the use of healing of the earth. And I went, great. How do you do that? But whoever it was or whatever it was that communicating with me wouldn't tell me. And then it basically hit me. Oh, what if we got people once a year to make a sound together? And I thought, okay, let's work with Valentine's Day and making an ah sound, which we talked about earlier as being the sound of the heart. So on World Sound Healing Day, tens of thousands of people throughout the planet will basically just stop for a few minutes and make an ah sound, projecting, if you like, positive energy to the ionosphere of the planet. We were talking about the Schumann resonance, and it really seems there is some scientific evidence through various organizations that this affects the ionosphere, and that we can literally interface with the ionosphere, changing the vibrations of that and potentially raising in the vibrations and the consciousness of all the beings on our planet. What a concept.
That would be great. How was that measured?
Okay. do we go for a break? Because I'll be glad to tell you. But this was basically done with what they call random number generators.
Oh,
and
okay.
Random number generators, basically, if you flip a coin, you're going to get 50% of the time you get heads, 50% tails. Random number generator does zeros and ones, and half the time you're going to get the zero and half the time you're going to get one. But they found when events of high compassion occur, these random numbers are less random. And for example, with World Sound Healing Day, they measured what happened, and instead of it being a straight line, which would happen if you had an equal amount of zeros and ones, it looks like Mount Everest, meaning that something big was occurring. And these random number generators were done
at
Princeton University, and very cool, and you probably have to take a break now.
Well, in just a minute, but that's fascinating. They were actually able to quantify it and show a difference in a spike in these random number generators. I love
it. You have to understand now that the scientists who did this would not validate that anything was going on, but they said it was certainly unusual.
Well, okay, we'll take it. Certainly unusual, we'll take it.
Right, it's like, something's going on, but we can't really tell you what it is. And it's, okay, and that I think is great.
You use the intention behind it, though, and you can probably create some incredible effects with the frequency and the intent, as you said, can amount to a certain amount of healing. So, yes, we are going to take a quick break here, Jonathan, and we will
continue this when we get back, maybe.
You got it.
Thank you.
You're a radio show host as well. All right, we will be right back. I am Lisa Gardy, listening to Coast AM. A little different music for Coast to Coast. That is the Crown Chakra music by Jonathan Goldman, and he is my guest tonight, the sound healing pioneer. And a lot of great callers coming on. Jonathan, are you okay with callers?
You betcha.
That was right. That was the Crown Healing one, right?
Actually, that was something called De-Stress, which is Just as easily one for crown, but as soon as I heard that, I could feel my whole nervous system just chilling out.
It's definitely different, a sound for Coast to Coast as well.
I gotcha.
It's
Gotcha.
great. It's great. Well, it's like a little change here. Actually, it really has helped one of our callers who's on the line here, Dave in Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I
Hey.
just say you have a sultry, salty voice.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, sultry.
Aw.
Oh, and your guest whose clouds he saw when they were taking the picture, he actually had an onion sandwich before they took those pictures.
So you liked the music? Did you like the specific sounds that you were hearing,
Well,
Dave?
I have neuropathy and arthritis in my right foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they have low doses of morphine, which do nothing. But when I heard these tones and whatnot, the pain actually eased a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, no, it was really cool.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you
Yeah.
very much for sharing that. I'm so grateful.
Okay, I hope your guest doesn't hate me.
He doesn't. Jonathan, your music is making an impact on our friend Dave. Thank you.
He was correct. I had onions indeed before the photo was taken.
Oh, is that right?
Well,
You're
maybe
joking.
not, but that's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Right.
All right, let's if we can go to Eric in Austin, Texas. Hi, Eric. How are you? Long time no talk.
Lisa, how you
Hey.
doing?
Oh, good. Always good to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. I look forward to you being on the weekend. So it's like, I'm staying up late on this one.
I'm glad you're up with me.
I gotta hear my Lisa Gar. So, anyways,
Thanks, Eric.
you're welcome.
So now you know about hertz and frequencies. You're an engineer. Do you have a question for Jonathan?
Actually, yeah. Jonathan, first of all, great program. Just an awesome interview, and I really love the sounds that you're playing. Just a couple of comments first before I get to my question is, first of all, with that last clip that you played, it was just like all of a sudden I just felt my right brain click in, and I was like, I got to go grab a flute to play along with it. I really got to get a hold of some of your material. I'm really enthusiastic about it. The second comment that I had is that when you were talking about vocalizations, I had the fortune of sitting in on a lot of Native American ceremonies, specifically using the drum and singing on the drum. And a lot of the times we use in our songs what are called vocables. Like for instance, for the ancestor song, it will go way hey hey ya, way yo hey ya. And what I found is that those vocables actually help set the energy for what it is that we're invoking through song. And it was really synchronistic that you should mention that earlier in your interview.
That makes perfect sense. Yes.
Can I say something, Lisa?
Yes.
Which is that I was friends with a Lakota medicine man, and basically, at one point in time, so he's visiting me, and he picked up the Tibetan deep voice, which is a technique that I learned a long time ago. But he picked it up by being around me, and he showed me something with a Tibetan bowl, how you could take a Tibetan bowl, put a little water in it and hit it, and it would sound like a dolphin. So it's interesting. From my perspective, yes, vocables are extraordinary. And also, the sacred people and sacred traditions are all similar, regardless of the belief system that may encounter them. You just reminded me of that, so thank you.
Yes, so sound. Thank you so much, Eric. Great to hear your voice. And sound is something that truly connects traditions and all time. And Jonathan, we have to take another quick break. I completely forgot. We will be right back. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. My guest is Jonathan Goldman. And we have a lot of great callers calling in. Jonathan, are you okay with going back to our phones here?
Still, I really appreciate your callers and I appreciate you. Thank you.
Of course. By the way, Jonathan's website is Sound Healing. Oh, I'm sorry, it's healingsounds.com. Healingsounds.com.
Healingsounds.com. Sounds with an S at the end. All right. Yes. Thank
Lots
you.
of great videos and and wonderful things to listen to on healingsounds.com. So definitely check that out. Let's go to Kelly in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Kelly. First time caller. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I just want to make a comment. Love the show. Awesome. You know, I'm 54 years old, and I rarely ever get sick. Like, I've never had the flu, cold, sore throat, earache, because I hum constantly. I'm always, and I couldn't understand, like, how come I never get sick? And people think I'm nuts. I'm like, I've been around people who are sick, and I just have a really good immune system. And after hearing this, I know why, because I hum all the time.
Keep it up. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, my question was about the frequencies, like the different levels as far as, I'm not real sure the numbers, but I was reading something where it was like supposed to be at 432, but it's not said at that. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Totally. And we actually, just 2 days ago, released a set of tuning forks, one which vibrates at the frequency of 432 and one which vibrates at the frequency of 528, because these are said to be two sacred frequencies, but I don't think anybody's ever put them together as tuning forks. And we call them the intention enhancers, and they're available on our website. And I think that what's really important about this is not the specific frequency, but the interval or the relationship between two frequencies. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, because I was, from my understanding, like I guess during, like Hitler used a frequency of 440, which caused like aggravation and anger, like amongst the people.
That actually well may not be true. There's a lot of misinformation about frequencies, and that's one I could go into a long discussion of it, but we actually have a wonderful blog on our website that talks about the 200 different frequencies that were used for the note A, since something called equal temperament came out from Bach's time, and it's gone from around 350 cycles a second to around 550 cycles a second. So it's really modulated a whole lot, and I try to perceive that one particular frequency is not it. It's the relationship of different frequencies.
Combination of different frequencies.
The relationship, in other words.
Relationship, okay.
There was a guy by the name of Pythagoras, who we know as the father of geometry, but he was also the father of modern music theory, and he found that whole number ratios seem to have a really healing effect, and this is getting way too complicated, but I just wanted to share that with you since we mentioned that.
Thank you. Well, great question. Thank you so much for your call, Kelly. I appreciate it. Let's go here to our wildcard line 3, Mimi in Midland, Texas. Hi, Mimi. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Do you have a question for Jonathan Goldman?
Yes, I do.
Hi.
I was wondering if perhaps he knew met Robert Monroe.
Yes. Are you familiar with Monroe, Robert Monroe and the Monroe Institute?
Oh, most definitely. I actually taught at the Monroe Institute one time. Yes, indeed.
Why do you ask, Mimi?
I had the privilege of meeting him in 1976. He was a speaker at a workshop I went to. And his entire experience, which led into his later work, began because he was experimenting with timing of some sort. And I've always been curious about it. He didn't go into great detail about it, but he was listening to a tape of sound someone had given him. And this really probably ties in with what originally happened to him. Hello?
Yeah. So,
yeah, well, if I can just...
He was just a great man.
Yes.
Lovely being.
Brilliant man. And his work is carried on through the Monroe Institute.
He is, if I can just interject, I was talking at the very, very beginning of the show. He's one of, if you like, the great pioneers in using what's called binaural beat frequencies in order to create different rhythms in the brain and states of consciousness. And you are indeed correct, because he was he initially had an out-of-body experience listening to a sound, and he kept trying to find a sound that would duplicate that. He never did, but he did find different sounds that literally caused different states of consciousness.
Fascinating. Well, thanks for that reminder and for the shout out for Robert Monroe. I appreciate it, Mimi. Thank you. It really does make so much sense that everything is frequency, everything is energy. So sound is just another way of communicating or being in relationship with frequency. And the healing aspects of it is also an incredible bonus. That's a huge benefit when you add the intention. This is really terrific. Let's go to Marsha in Los Gatos. Hello, Marsha. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much for having this lovely program. I thought by now we'd all have frequency medicine to live with all our days.
That'd be great.
I don't know who's really concentrating on that. As a nurse, I would often get the willingness to say to a client, give me a sound. And then there'd be a sound, and I'd make the same sound, and then we'd just hug or laugh or something like that. And as I worked a pediatric oncology, I would record the child's sounds. Often they were too ill to have developed them, and play them back for their parents and for them. And it was just a wonderful way to connect with the individual. Jonathan, what do you think about that?
That is so beautiful. I have many different thoughts, and I'm going to make this really brief, but I too have been waiting for sound to be the medicine of the future. As a psychic by the name of Edgar Cayce one time, about 100 years ago, predicted, and the actual first recording CD that I ever did that was therapeutic is called Dolphin Dreams. It's the first recording that ever featured commercially the sounds of dolphins, and I created that for the birthing process. And it's been used, it's probably been about 30 years, and it's been used in hospitals all over the place for all sorts of babies, etc. And I just want to suggest also that they are using now ultrasound on a level where they're literally using MRIs in conjunction with ultrasound to work with as a non-invasive therapy for people with all sorts of Parkinson's, et cetera. This is growing more and more. The University of Virginia is doing a lot of research and work on that, and it's really pioneering work. So I have been waiting for frequency-based therapy for a long time, and it's slowly happening.
We'll hope together. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Marsha, for the work that you do and for the intuition and the guidance that you had to help these children. Keep it up. Thank you. Lots of amazing things. Thank you so much, Jonathan. You've really opened up such a world of sound that is, it's a universal language. Let's go back to our phones here. We've got Mike in Portland, Oregon. Mike is a first-time caller here on Coast to Coast. How are you?
Fine, Lisa. How are you? So nice to talk with you and with Jonathan.
Yes.
And, back in the 1980s, I lived in Denver, and I heard one of Jonathan's contemporaries, Stephen Halpern. Maybe Jonathan knows Stephen.
Yes. Certainly.
Yes, and he did a collaboration album with an oboist by the name of Paul McCandless. And as a result of hearing that music, many years later now, and I'm 62, but at age 57, I just had to start learning how to play the oboe in the English horn. And I must make those sounds. And I find making those sounds with those instruments just so fulfilling. And I enjoy sharing my music with others as well. And I find that it's kind of contagious. Once people hear that sound themselves, they go and they seek out oboe and English horn music. And the beautiful music of Stephen Halpern and music like yours. And I wonder what it is about that intonation that strikes a chord with so many people.
Can I suggest that my wife, who's really into angels, plays the harp, so which is very, very different. So I don't have an answer except that, you know, so many different instruments have their own unique, extraordinary tone, and different people are attracted to one instrument, different people are attracted to another instrument, and I don't think it really matters just as long as you're resonating and vibrating and just feeling. You know, a lot of people feel on a level that the divine is actually sound. You know, in the beginning was the word, that type of thing. So I think through playing music and even through humming, you can attune with the divine.
Mm. I love the sound of the oboe as well. I'm with you on that, Mike. It's a very healing sound. Beautiful.
Mm.
Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. And there's, again, it's a universal language. It really seems to connect. Let's go to Thomas on our wild card line 2 in La Jolla.
Hi, Lisa. You know, I always appreciate the healing harmonics of your voice.
Aww.
You have the best healing voice in talk radio, in my opinion.
Bless you. Thank you.
And Jonathan, I wanted to ask you about acoustic spaces. There seems to be spaces both in nature and in architecture which enhance the divine hum, as you call it. For example, European cathedrals and Gregorian chants, or Greek amphitheaters, or Egyptian temples. And of course, the indigenous cultures would locate specific spots in nature that would enhance the human vibration.
Okay, listen, totally true. I'm going to tell you a really fast, quick story. May I do that, Lisa?
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes.
Okay, so I was teaching in England. Actually, I was teaching in Scotland. I went to a place called Rosland Cathedral, and basically, or a chapel, actually. And this was before Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I walked in there, and there was this one space that I just was guided to make sound. I made sound. As I made sound, I really became aware that there was this literally light manifesting, and it was quite incredible. There was nobody in the chapel at all, and all of a sudden I turned around, I saw a woman behind me, and she was crying. I said, oh my goodness gracious, you know, I didn't mean to disturb you. And she looked at me, she said, no, now I understand how sound was used in ancient Egypt to heal. And I thought, wow, pretty mm-hmm. interesting. So I want to just validate so much your awareness of that, because yeah, the ancients had a knowledge of the power of sacred spaces to amplify and create extraordinary sounds within sounds.
Wow, it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Thomas, for your phone call. And I was thinking about the Gregorian chants as well, and it really opens up my heart as well. Thank you for that. And I had mentioned to you, Jonathan, that I got the privilege of hearing my friend Sandra Joseph sing, and she was Christine on Phantom of the Opera for a decade. And just her heart, her voice, the tone of her voice just opens my heart. Every time I hear her, opens up my heart chakra and just makes me cry. And you can hear her online anywhere. It's just amazing, the frequencies that come out of human beings and sounds everywhere. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for connecting the sound world with all of us. It seems to be a universal language used for healing. I appreciate your information tonight. It's been great. Again, the website to find out about Jonathan and all his great work is healingsounds.com. Healingsounds.com has tons of material, lots of great videos and sounds and healing sounds. Thanks, Jonathan.
Lisa, thank you. It has been a great pleasure.
Pleasure's been mine. All right. Thank you. We will be right back. I am Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Coast to Coast AM.